It's different when I'm sitting here alone all by myself. It's different when I think you might be with somebody else. It's different. This whole world.
I could pretend you was my man. You love just how that feel. Out of my way, you out of pocket, need clear vision. Boy, can't trust decision when you near me. Get myself caught in your crossfire. You a wild one, and I'm waiting in you like it's cool. Water like it's cool when you pull up, pulled up with a new. And it's not
all
me.
That I know is there was a sign.
It's different when I'm sitting here alone all by myself. It's different when I think you might be with somebody else. It's different.
Dad, why does sun follow me everywhere I go?
I think it's actually just everywhere you go.
What do you mean, Daddy?
My son. Well, science explains how the Earth revolves around the sun.
Interesting, Dad. I thought the Earth is a stationary object. How does it revolve around the sun?
I don't have an accurate answer for this, but I do know where to find answers. The Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM, Ibadan.
Okay, Daddy.
Son, where are you off to?
I'm off to tell my friends to tune in to the Inkaba Science Show every Monday on the Beat 97.9 FM Ibadan by 9 a.m. and also catch the repeat broadcast on Thursday by 5 p.m. We can't miss it!
The Inkaba Science Show, powered by Inkaba Biotech, Africa's genomics company.
This is the Inkaba Science Show.
This is the Beat 97.9 FM. Welcome to the Inkaba Science Show, brought to you by Inkaba Biotech. Of course, the show comes your way every Monday, 9 a.m. till 9:45, and we'll bring you repeat broadcasts of the show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Basically, on the Inkaba Science Show, we'll look at different science-related topics. We'll bring experts in the studio. They help us dissect these complex topics into relatable units for our information and education. My name is Olorun Tobaisu. Thank you so much for being a part of the show for today. Remember, the show is highly interactive. At any point, you can always call the phone line 0700-10979 to ask questions relating to the issues we are discussing on the show from our experts in the studio. So today, we'll be focusing on something very important. In fact, it is so important that, you know, there's a day designated for it internationally. It's called World Cancer Day, celebrated 4th of February every year. 10 million people die from cancer every year. At least one-third of common cancers are preventable. The total annual economic cost of cancer is estimated at $1.16 trillion, and 70% of death caused by cancer occur mostly in low to middle income countries. And when you talk about low to middle income countries, you think about Africa, you think about Nigeria. So this is why today's episode is very, very important. So our experts today will be talking about the science of how tumors grow, the causes and effect, and basically the genesis of cancer and what we need to do to prevent it as well. Our guest is Dr. Juwon Olugbami. He's a specialist in cancer research and molecular biology at the Department of Biochemistry, University of Ibadan. Dr. Olugbami, thank you so much for being a part of the Inkaba Science Show today.
It's entirely my pleasure to be here this morning too.
Yes, it's good to have you, and I've been looking forward to this session since I, you know, got the hang of the topic we're discussing, because it's something that a lot of people will want to know about. It's something that there are, you know, lots of myth here and there, you know, misconception and what have you regarding its actual origin. So I hope that we'll be able to, you know, delve into these issues properly in the next 45 minutes. So I want to start by asking you the definition of cancer, basically.
Thank you so much, Mr. Olorantoba Yusuf. When you talk about cancer, basically, cancers are a group of diseases in the sense that the body system is made up of many cells, different kinds of cells, and each of these types of cells can have cancer develop in same. So that's why cancers are referred to as a group of diseases, because every type of cell in the body can have the occurrence of cancer. Cancer can be induced in any kind of cells. And of course, the body is composed of different types of cells, liver cells, the skin cells, the kidney cells, eye, the hair you have, you know, all the types of cells can have cancer induced in them.
Okay, so is it like, because I was trying to look at the definition again, you know, the understanding I had about it initially was it has to be some sort of growth in your body.
Yeah, I'm coming. Yes. Basically, one of the very crucial features of cancer is the uncontrolled division of cells. Naturally speaking, for a child to be born, there must be fertilization in which there will be a cell from the father and a cell from the mother, and the spermatozoa and then the ovum coming together, fertilization. And from that single fertilized cell, there will be division of cells. All right, from that single cell, a single cell will be divided into two cells. The daughter cells too will be divided into two. Each of them will be divided into two cells, and that's why, for there to be growth, there must be division of cells. And on that basis, if the rate of division of cells is not controlled, in which case cells are divided when they are not supposed to divide, automatically it will result in accumulation of so many cells. And that's what can result into tumor. And tumor just simply implies accumulation of cells in which there are too many than expected.
Okay.
And in that way, tumor can actually be divided into two. We have what you call the benign tumor, and we have the malignant tumor. In the case of the benign tumor, it's confined, it's limited to a particular place.
Okay, it's benign.
Yeah, it's benign, limited or confined to a particular location.
Yeah.
Location, it could be any part of the, you know, I said it's a group of diseases, which simply implies that it could be the lungs, it could be the liver, but then the cells.
It could be the brain.
Yeah, true, of course. The cells are confined, of course, it could be the skin too. Mm. The cells are confined to a particular location. Whereas in the case of malignant tumor, the cells initially begins at a point which you call the primary location or primary site. And after a while, the cells can move from that initial location and then migrate through the bloodstream to another location and then locate or open up a site in another location. In other words, it has undergone a process which you call metastasis.
Okay.
It has spread from the initial location, which you call the primary site, moving over to another location and establishing itself in that second location, which we refer to as a secondary site. And by being in another location, a different cell going to another location, that implies that it's going to cause problem in the second site where it is.
Okay, so I know that there are different types of cancer, you know, breast cancer, which is very common, you know, prostate cancer, you know, all kinds of these cancers, which I hope that we'll be able to get into it, you know, little by little as time permits us. But you mentioned earlier that you explained earlier the process of formation of tumor and everything. So does this mean that, you know, when someone has cancer, there has to be an abnormal growth in a particular part of the body where the cancer is manifesting? Must there be tumor before the person has cancer?
Oh, thank you very much. Like I said, one of the characteristic features of cancer is uncontrolled division of cells.
Okay.
Normally, at a point in time, just like when someone is driving a car.
Or maybe I should say, can there be cancer even without a tumor?
No.
Okay.
No. Normally, when someone is driving a car, you apply your accelerator as occasion demands and the brake correspondingly. So in the case of cancer, or normally when cell is dividing, There should be a time that cells should stop dividing. Mm. There should be a time that induction of cell division should take place. In other words, there's what we can liken to a brake. A car moving on has its own brake. At a point in time when an accident is about to occur, the driver will apply the brake. And at another point in time when there's a need to accelerate, he applies the pedal too in order to accelerate. But in the case of cancer, this control is lost. There is what we call tumor suppressor proteins or tumor suppressor genes, and we have the oncogenes. These are involved in controlling the rate at which cells divide. But when this control is lost, cells will be dividing when they are not supposed to divide. Mm. And that is what we initially result in tumor. And like I said, tumor can either be located in a particular location,
or be
like
being around. Okay.
Yeah, or move after forming tumor, after the growth, after a while, the cells can start migrating from the initial location through the bloodstream to another location. Mm. And most times too, the fact that the cell leaves the initial location does not imply automatically that it will find another location where it will be established. Mm. Because in the course of transporting, there can be immune system eliminating the cancer cells. And then even when it gets to another location, it really requires blood supply. And most times, one of the things future associated with cancer is that there is production, neoangiogenesis, production of new blood vessels, because cells, the new cells or the cells that are forming, they require nutrients, they require oxygen. And of course, too, the product of metabolism, carbon dioxide, other waste products have to be taken away. So there will be a need for generation of new blood vessels, which we refer to as neoangiogenesis.
Okay.
So tumor, cancer is associated with formation of tumors.
Tumor.
Because it involves uncontrolled generation or production or division of cells.
I asked that question, of course, you are the expert, and I asked that question because I remember that there is leukemia, which is also called blood cancer, correct? So in that case, you know, is a tumor formed? Is there a growth as well? How does that work?
Yeah, in the case of that, it's a type of blood cancer.
Yes.
And there is an uncontrolled proliferation. It doesn't have to be tumor in the sense that...
Okay, that's what I meant by
flows.
That. Is this that there must
tumor,
be...
No.
Yes.
No, like
that's
I said...
That's what I wanted to ask.
No. Not
that
located.
There must be, you know, a growth somewhere.
Not institute. Confined. It doesn't have to be confined.
Okay.
Like in the specific case here, you talk about blood cells. That means so many blood cells, a particular type of blood cells, are produced beyond what is required, what is expected.
Okay, so it doesn't have to mean that there has to be...
Institute or confined to...
Of that particular growth in the location of the body.
No, it depends on the type of cells.
Okay.
You know, like I said, it's a group of diseases. Cancer is a group of diseases.
Mm.
If it involves blood cells, and of course the blood cells are flowing, and then the lymphs, so automatically
it makes it easier to scatter around the body.
You know, it implies that there will be so many of those blood cells.
Okay.
And one of the things about the cancer cells is that they are not as differentiated. Normally, a cell should, when you talk about differentiation, a particular cell has its own function that it carries out. So when a cell becomes differentiated, it means it has specialized in carrying out a particular function.
Mm.
But in the case of cancer cells, most of them are not specialized. Sometimes they are immature cells, they are undifferentiated cells, they are not specialized. So they are just there to waste resources.
Mm. Okay, so we've looked at tumor, the cells, the production of cells, and what have you. Let's now look at what actually causes this thing to happen in the body. You know, there are different versions I've heard. Some would say it is genetic. Some would say, you know, maybe the kind of food you eat. Some would say maybe the radiation you're exposed to or something. So tell us the different ways of being susceptible to, you know, cancer as human beings, and how it affects your body system.
Oh, thank you
yes.
so much. Basically, the genetic component of cancer, or genetic factor.
So one way is genetic.
We have genetic.
So we're starting with that
factors,
one. Okay.
And then we have the environmental
factors. Let's start with the genetic factors now.
Basically, genetic factors contribute about 15%.
15%? Just 15%?
Absolutely. While environmental factor contribute about 85%.
Wow.
So the genetic factor is highly limited compared to environmental factor, which simply implies that as human beings, we have a part to play to prevent cancer formation.
What would one rationally think that when you have cancer, maybe someone in your bloodline had it,
yeah.
And maybe someone, you know, in your genealogy, you know, had something like that at some point in time.
Not necessarily so.
Okay.
Because we have, of course, in the case of genetic or hereditary, maybe if a family member has had it, there may be...
Maybe there's a history of it, yeah.
Exactly. In a particular, of course, in a family, the likelihood is high for someone to still have it in that family. And once there's something we can call the gene, specific gene that are susceptible to a particular cancer.
Okay.
So there's a, we can carry out genetic analysis in the sense that we find out, okay, since someone in this family, there's a family history of this particular kind of cancer.
All right.
So is it, being a member of that family, am I likely going to have that cancer? There can be genetic analysis to check if I'm likely going to have it. Some people have done that before. There are specific genes which are associated with breast cancer, for example. And the mother, once it's found out that the mother has had it, and a child decides to find out genetically if he's susceptible
to it,
if he has that gene and the gene is defective. And once it's found out that the gene is defective, what they can do is mastectomy. And by mastectomy simply implies the removal of the breast.
Yes.
And that simply implies that the likelihood of having breast cancer will be limited.
Has been limited. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so that buttresses your point that, you know, the genetic factor does not really play a big role.
So much of, compared to environmental,
the environmental factors. So let's look at the environmental factors now. Let's break down the environmental factors.
Okay,
yes.
Now... environmental factor, we can look at it from the perspective of chemical carcinogenesis. When you say talk about carcinogenesis, you're talking about the processes involved in the formation of cancer. So we can have chemical carcinogenesis, physical, from physical agents and then from biological agents. Like in the case of chemical carcinogenesis, some chemicals have been known to cause cancer. Those chemicals are referred to as carcinogens. Cancer causing chemicals are called carcinogens. And some of them can also be referred to as mutagens, in the sense that those cancer-causing carcinogens, they bring about a change in the sequence of the nucleotide that are contained in a gene. Because cancer is associated with gene, changes in the gene sequence, every protein that you have in the body has its own corresponding gene that codes for that protein. And if there's a change in the sequence of the component, we call them nucleotides. If there's a change in the sequence, it will affect the protein that is produced. For example, you know that I told you about tumor suppressor gene and then oncogenes. Tumor suppressor gene basically are involved in downplaying the rate of cell production or division, whereas oncogenes, they speed up the rate of cell division. So when tumor suppressor gene, for example, the gene is mutated, maybe through a particular chemical that can interact with a base, and by interaction with the base, it results in mutation. When there's a change in the sequence of nucleotide, that's what we call mutation. And then once there's mutation, the protein that will be produced by that particular gene may not be able to carry out its function again. For example, if the protein is a tumor suppressor protein, then that when it's supposed to stop cell division, it's not able to stop it. So cells will be dividing when it's not supposed to divide.
So can you give us examples of this, chemical, cancer-causing chemicals that you've explained now, so that, you know, we can relate to maybe things we probably come across on a daily basis in our daily lives that, you know, fall under this, you know, chemical agents that you're explaining?
Thank you so well, Mr. Lawrence Toba Yusuf.
Yes.
Like I said before, actually, there are two divisions. There are direct-acting chemicals.
Okay.
And there are indirect acting chemicals. When you talk about direct acting chemicals, that simply implies that once the body system is exposed to such a chemical, it can bring about maybe a change in the nucleotide sequence
thereby leading to cancer. Yes.
But there are other non-indirect acting chemicals, in the sense that your body has to convert them into carcinogens. Your body has to, metabolize or convert them into a form that can result in cancer formation. And the body system differs. There's what they call polymorphism. Some enzymes that you have in your body may not be as active as the enzymes I have in my body. That is why, for example, someone that smokes, of course, this tobacco smoke contains so many chemicals.
So that is an example of the chemical agents you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Tobacco smoke contains so many chemicals that if your body system metabolizes them, the likelihood of them becoming carcinogens It's very high. But then, since there is what we call polymorphism, the rate that you, someone else will metabolize the chemical is different from the rate that another person will metabolize the chemical.
Mm.
And that implies that the fact that this person is exposed to the to tobacco smoke
yeah.
does not necessarily directly imply that the person will have cancer. Because it depends on the genetic composition of the person. How does it metabolize this chemical that is exposed to? For example, we have what you call aflatoxin B1. Aflatoxin B1 is known to be involved in the generation or formation of liver cancer, and it's very prevalent in tropical part of the world.
This it part of the world, yes.
A tropical part of the world, yes. Nigeria inclusive.
Yes, yes.
It develops in grains, for example, even granite. If you look at granite are not well stored, maybe in a dampy environment. There are some growths, you can see some things on them. There's a particular microorganism, we call it Aspergillus flavus, which has the ability to produce that chemical aflatoxin B1. And aflatoxin B1 has been associated with the induction of liver cancer. Another a specific example is what we call polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon, we call them PAR. They are contained specifically in tobacco smoke. And if we are exposed to heat, it's the likelihood of generating cancer is very high. Benzene, too. It's one of the chemicals that are involved in
speaking of chemicals and the beverages that have some of these chemicals or foods that have some of these chemicals, some people would say this popular instant noodles, for example, or there are all kinds of them now, by the way, that some of them contain possible causing agents, maybe chemical agents of this cancer as well. Is that also true?
Yeah, highly true.
Mm.
And then even in the course of processing such foods, the rate
fast food and what have you.
Yeah, yes. The rate of processing the such food can have the likelihood of generating carcinogens. When the such food is being processed, the likelihood of generating carcinogen is very. For example, there's a particular condiment, Maggi.
Let's not mention the name now. Seasoning.
Okay,
yes.
There are some chemicals that are contained in them that when you are taking such food, your body, like I said before, the likelihood of you,
depends on your body system.
The fact that this person will process these components contained in this food this way does not imply that this other person will process it in the same way. So depending on how your body is able to process it, that determines if it will result in the formation of carcinogens. And then carcinogens, like we said before, are chemicals that are involved in generation of cancer. So as I was saying earlier on, we have chemicals that can cause carcinogens, that can cause cancer. We also have physical agents like X-ray, radiation, ionizing radiation. And that is why when someone goes for X-ray, they have to put you alone inside, and then someone that is operating will hide himself behind in order not to be exposed to the radiation. Because the radiation has a tendency of affecting the nucleotide sequence. If one is exposed to heat too frequently, the likelihood exists that it can affect the nucleotide sequence and automatically affect some particular genes. And then the product of that gene will, of course, be affected.
Dr. Olugbami, we'll take a short break. When we get back, we'll continue the conversation. We're discussing the genesis of cancer, the causes and effect of cancer in our body system. The program is Inkaba Science Show. It comes your way every Monday, 9 to 9:45. Remember, you can be a part of the conversation by calling 0700-1000-979. We'll be back after this break. Don't go away.
Dad, why does the sun follow me everywhere I go?
I think it's actually just everywhere you go.
What do you mean, Daddy?
My son. Well, science explains how the Earth revolves around the sun.
Interesting, Dad. I thought the Earth is a stationary object. How does it revolve around the sun?
I don't have an accurate answer for this, but I do know where to find answers. The Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM, Ibadan.
Okay, Daddy.
Son, where are you off to?
I'm off to tell my friends to tune in to the Inkaba Science Show every Monday on the Beats 97.9 FM Ibadan by 9 a.m. and also catch the repeat broadcast on Thursday by 5 p.m. We can't miss it!
The Inkaba Science Show, powered by Inkaba Biotech, Africa's genomics company.
is the Inkabal Science Show.
This is the Inkabal Science Show. We're discussing the origin and genesis of cancer. We still have in the studio Dr. Juwon Olugbami. He's a specialist in cancer research and molecular biology, Department of Biochemistry, University of Ibadan. So we're exploring the science of how tumors grow, the causes and effect of cancers in the body. 0700 1000 979, that's the number to call if you have any question regarding what we're discussing today. 0700 1000 979. So we're discussing the various causes of cancer. We've mentioned the genetic factor, which you said is minimal in terms of the impact it has. We've also looked at the chemical, you know, agent as well. So we're looking at the other, you know, physical factors now. You were explaining X-ray before we went on the break.
Yeah, back to X-ray, which is one of the physical carcinogens. Aside X-ray, we also have ultraviolet light. So, which simply implies that one should not be exposed too much to sun radiation. Sun radiation too itself can be carcinogenous, can be a carcinogen, just like X-ray. And what they do is, for example, X-ray is that it's referred to as one of the ionizing radiation, which has the tendency of causing mutations. We should not forget the fact that mutation does not necessarily imply that it will result in cancer formation. So there are specific mutations that will result. Some will not necessarily result in cancer formation. So that simply implies anything that has the ability of causing mutation is referred to as a mutagen. Mm. So not all mutagens are carcinogenous or will cause cancer, but anything that can cause cancer is called a carcinogen. And so sun radiation, ultraviolet light, X-ray, I refer to, they are examples of something, of substances that can cause cancer, physical substances or factors that can cause cancer. And aside that, we've talked about chemical, physical, now talking about biological
factors. Okay. Too.
For example, bacteria. A typical example of it is Helicobacter pylori, which has been implicated in the formation of stomach cancer. Aside bacteria, we also have viruses. There are specific viruses which we refer to as oncoviruses. These are viruses that have the tendency of inducing formation of cancer because they have what we call oncogene in their own genetic in their own genome. And if such a virus infects a cell, their own genome, part of their genome, can be incorporated, transferred to the genome of that cell. Mm. And it takes over the metabolism of that cell in such a way that that cell can start dividing when it's not supposed to divide. Of course, that is one of the hallmarks of cancer. Uncontrolled division of cells.
Okay, you mentioned that, you know, all of these factors manifesting depends on your body system. You know, does it now imply that even though, because your body system is part of your genetic, I mean, what your body has become over time is, you know, a development of how your genes and everything. Yes. So does it now mean that, you know, whether or not you like it, it's still a combination again of genetic factors and environmental factors as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a combination.
So that means that the genetic factors still play a role because the way your body is, the way your gene is made up, is a function of what you've gotten from your lineage, from your genealogy over time. So if there are environmental factors that trigger it, you know, in connection with this, your genetic makeup, you would have cancer. That's what it means.
No, that has implication. But then, like I had said before, the genetic factor accounts for approximately...
I'm saying that. I remember you said, you know, someone who inhales tobacco smoke, for example, does not necessarily mean that the person, you know, would have cancer, although there's a possibility because of exposure of this. But it's manifesting depends on, you know, what you call polymorphism.
Yeah,
yes. So it depends on the body system. So
exactly.
Is the polymorphism of the body system also not a function of your genetic makeup?
Yeah, that
implying that, you know, it's still a combination of both.
Definitely. That's very true. Combination of genetic factor and environmental factor.
Yes.
But the reason why I said environmental factor plays higher role is because there are some things that can be controlled. There's what we call the risk factors, for example. We have the modifiable risk factor and non-modifiable risk factors.
What are those?
For example, when you talk about modifiable risk factors, for someone that smokes or someone that is exposed to sun radiation, someone that can be exposed to X-ray, you can control it. Someone that can be exposed to viruses, one can control it. That's why they are referred to as modifiable. But unlike non-modifiable, in this, for example, one's age, you can't modify your age, you can't modify your race, you can't modify your sex, you can't modify it. So that's why, for example, breast cancer is associated more with female. That's why you say it's one of the non-modifiable or etiological or risk factor of cancer.
And looking at the environmental factors you mentioned earlier, you know, is this why it's prevalent in this part of the world? Because I was reading statistics earlier that 70% of cancer-related death occur in low and middle-income countries across the world.
That's another very crucial point.
Yeah.
Basically, I didn't say this before, cancer is not really anywhere in the world. Both the high resources country or the low resources country, cancer is not really anywhere in the world. Yeah. But it varies, the occurrence, the incidence, and the mortality rate varies based on regions and then the level of income. That is why, even though the occurrence may not be high, so high in low-income countries, but because of lack of facilities, early detection, for example, if it's detected very early, they can take appropriate step in order to, maybe there's a need for surgery, and then removing the cancer at its initial location before metastasis, before it spread to another location.
And I also recall that at some point on this program, we discussed radiation, you know, and radiation was said to be one of the ways of treating cancer as well. So I remember one of the experts saying that, you know, radiation will target a section of where the cancer is and everything. So how is it not interesting that something that can cause it and can also treat it as well?
All right, thank you. So basically, radiation is one of the means by which cancer, one of the treatment therapies
for cancer, yes.
Treatment modalities for cancer. And the mechanism of action is that it destruction of the cancer cells.
So it's like a missile.
Something like that. The cancer cells, the body does not want those cells. Or in other words, we don't want those cells
because
they are not performing useful function. They are just consuming the resources that are meant for other cells. They take over everything and they start consuming. And then, of course, by virtue of the fact that the cells keep dividing, that implies that they need the resources to keep dividing. So the little resource that is available to the body, they can corner the and then start dividing. So now, what radiation does is that it destroys that particular, the cells at that particular location. And like you had said, like I said before, radiation, for example, X-ray, like I said, it can result in
genetic sequencing
a particular gene and then cause mutation. So now in this case, targeted destruction, radiation is about targeted destruction of a cell in that a particular location. But we should not forget that at that particular location, there are also normal cells aside cancer cells. So radiation will not only destroy normal cells, no, cancer cells, which are the targets, but then it will affect other normal cells too.
And it could also lead to more...
It will destroy normal cells.
And that could be dangerous to the body as well.
That is the implication too.
Okay, 0700-1000-979 if you want to call to be a part of the conversation. That's the number. If you have any questions for our guests in the studio, we're discussing the origin of cancer. We've looked at different factors, from environmental factors, biological factors as well. We've also looked at the genetic factor, which doesn't play a bigger role than the environmental factor as well. So let's look at, we've talked about these factors that trigger it now. Let's look at the ways it's now manifest in the body and the way it affects the body.
Oh, okay, thank you. So normally when a cell is dividing and there's a problem or maybe the genetic component is damaged, what the body does is that such a cell should not divide under normal circumstances. Such a cell should either go through our senescence, in which case it will not be allowed to divide, or alternatively it should go through a process which we call cell death. A cell that already has maybe mutations should not normally divide.
Mechanisms die.
Exactly. It's either that cell will be targeted for not to divide any longer, or it will be targeted for repairs. Initially, the body system tried to, there are repair mechanisms. Mm. For example, if there's a change in the nucleotide sequence or mutation, there are repair mechanisms that will try to repair it. But if it can't be repaired, then it will go through a channel of cell death, which we refer to as apoptosis.
And I know you're on a train of thought at the moment, but let me just quickly bring this in. The dead cells, for example, is it possible for them to gather again? The dead cells and cause problem, because I remember that they are, they are skin experts, and then when you visit them, sometimes they say, what you have is a combination of dead skin cells forming, how do they call it now? Is it lipoma now, something on the skin? So is it also a form? Yeah, is it a form of cancer as well? These dead skin cells, instead of going through the natural, cycle of dying and not causing a problem to the body after mutating, can they form together and also cause a problem to the body?
No, but basically, when you talk about
dead skin cells, yes,
dead cells are eventually meant to be eliminated.
Yes,
like the example I was given,
yes,
apoptosis, it results in the destruction of that cells, and the component can be reused by other cells.
Oh.
But unlike
so
another
it's
means,
recycle.
Yes, yes. Recycle. Unlike another means of cell death, which you call necrosis. Necrosis is an accidental form of cell death. And that accidental form of cell death, it causes another problem to other useful cells. Apoptosis is what we refer to as a programmed cell death, in which the cell death will not affect the surrounding cell. But necrosis can affect other surrounding cells and then cause other problems. I think that's the particular example that you are citing.
Yes.
But
yes.
Apoptosis is a natural or programmed cell death that a particular cell that the genetic component cannot be repaired, or that the damage is above repair, that the body system will just target the cell for destruction, and then the component can be reused and recycled.
Okay, so let's continue the way it manifests in the body and how it affects the system going forward.
As we were saying before, if apoptosis then does not take place, like I said, normally when a cell has genetic damage and the body system it can be repaired, is normally supposed to go through apoptosis for the elimination of that particular cell. But then if the mechanism that we initiate apoptosis is not there, that particular cell that has genetic damage, we keep dividing when it's not supposed to divide. And once it gets to a point that, depending on the kind of cell or the kind of cancer, on the kind of tumor, we had said we have the benign tumor, we have the malignant tumor. At a point in time, for the malignant tumor, when the cells keep dividing, and as they are dividing, initially it could just be one mutation that it has. But as it keeps dividing, there's what we call genome instability. It's one of the features of cancer cells. As they are dividing, more mutations will be taking place. So the kind of features or characteristics that they have initially will be changing, which implies that a cell that is not motile, not able to move initially, then we assume the property of being able to move, motile. And that implies that it will be able to break through where its boundary, and then leave its boundary, enter the blood vessels, and then, of course, the component of the blood will transport it. And then it goes out of the blood vessel again and locate itself in another organ. Like I had said before, that is what we call the secondary site. And in that secondary site again, it can begin to destroy, or of course, like I said before, cancer has to do with our proliferation of cells, and then they require resources. The resources that are meant for the cells in the new location, automatically the cancers will be taking the resources, and then it starts dividing. But then if we can prevent, once it is detected, that's why I talk about early detection.
Yes,
if once it's detected at the initial site and then it's removed, then the likelihood of metastasizing will be very slim. But once it starts metastasizing, most times it results in death.
Okay, so I understand there are different types. I'm looking at the types here. I hope you would correct me with the pronunciations. Carcinoma, Yes.
Yeah, carcinoma.
Carcinoma. There's sarcoma.
Sarcoma.
Yes, lymphoma, leukemia, mm-hmm. brain and spinal cord cancer. So take us through. You've explained, of course, you know, how cancer, how tumor grows and division of cells and what have you. So in these different types now, so that people can understand what we're saying more. Because I know that in the carcinoma, for example, we have the breast, prostate, lung and colon cancer, you know. And then in the... you know, leukemia, of course, that's the blood cancer that we mentioned earlier. So let's look at the manifestation of these types of cancer briefly and the effect it has on the body.
Oh, thank you. So, yes. Well, we're talking about classification of cancer based yes. on the types of cells
that they affect.
Okay. Where the cancer is located.
Located, okay.
The types of cells, that's why we have that kind of the classification you have made reference to. Right. Like the carcinoma, it has to do with epithelial cells. Cells that are covering particular organ, epithelial cells associated with carcinoma. And like you have example, the liver, the skin is a typical example.
The lungs.
The lungs too. Epithelial cells that are covering particular organs, epithelial, they are referred to as epithelial cells.
Okay.
Unlike in the case of sarcoma, which has to do with connective tissues. For example, the bones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is a typical example.
The muscles.
The muscles and the bones, the connective tissues, the muscles, connective
tissues. So in that case, the cancer targets those cells along the, you know, connective tissues.
No, not necessarily targets. You know, I said, that's why I tried to explain what cancer is.
Yeah, okay.
The cell
that is affected.
Composed in that specific tissue.
All right.
It's a cell that will undergo genetic changes, and the changes will result in the formation of cancer. If like I said before, if the particular initial cell that has the DNA damage, if the cell can be removed, if it's possible, a mechanism or a way by which one can look, that this particular cell already has genetic damage, let's remove it. If it can be removed, automatically other cells are normal cells, and then there will be formation of cancer.
So is it possible, sorry to butt in here, that is it possible that it starts off from the sarcoma? That's the you know, the one that affects the vessel, like you mentioned, the connecting, you know, tissues in the body.
Muscles.
Is it possible that it starts from there and then goes on to affect those under the carcinoma classification, like breast, prostate, lungs, and colon cancer?
Yeah, thank you so well. Like the typical, like this, for what I was trying to explain.
Is it possible for it to start that way and then end up that way?
Yeah, no, it's not directly possible. It's only possible if metastasis has taken place.
Okay, that explains that concept of metastasis.
Yes, right. Leaving the initial location, which you refer to as the primary site or the primary organ or the organ of origin where it begins from, and it doesn't just happen easily or quickly. It's after a while, when the cells keep dividing, then they become invasive in the sense that they can penetrate through barriers. Normally cells are confined, there are barriers confining cells, but then when the cells have been dividing for long, and then so much of damage has been, genetic damage has taken place, the cells can assume other properties, characteristic features of motility, being able to move, mobile. Naturally, they are not, so epithelial cells are supposed to be confined to the location they are specialized and carrying out their home function at that location.
Right.
But then when mutation has taken place for long, then they assume other properties, the properties of being able to move from that location. And then that implies that if, for example, it begins with a lung, then it can move from the lung and then to the liver, for example, or even to the bone. For example, breast cancer can move from initial location of the breast to the lungs, for example. That's why you say someone that has breast cancer, which is not treated or taken care of, with time, such a person
can degenerate into something else.
Will be coughing because it will go to the, it can metastasize, spread. That's what, spread from the lung, from the breast to the lungs. And then when it gets to the lung, it will be affected.
I think I'll just be going with spread, not metastasize.
It's fine.
spread
is better. Actually,
okay,
so
the for the lymphoma now, what kind of, you know, what part of the body does it affect?
Oh, blood cells specifically.
Okay.
Blood-forming cells or blood cells. You know, we have blood-forming cells and we have blood cells. It's the blood-forming cells that result in blood cells.
Mm.
So this can affect leukemia, for example, examples of blood-forming cancer. Blood forming cells becoming cancerous, while lymphoma have blood cells, you know.
becoming cancerous too.
Exactly. The cells are, those are the cells that have been affected. Mm. Blood forming cells can be affected. So also as blood cells themselves can be affected.
Mm. Okay, so we've talked about quite a lot, and I want us to now look at again, for those who are listening to us, the kind of habits they should inculcate that would limit their susceptibility to cancer, because you've said that most of the factors are actually preventable, are things that we can't control. So before we go on the show, let's focus on those listening to us right now, the kind of habits they should inculcate as individuals to limit the exposure to things that can cause these types of cancer, be it carcinoma, sarcoma, leukemia, whatever class it belongs to.
Oh, thank you so well, Mr. Olorontaba.
Yes.
Like we had said before, environmental factors play a very crucial role in the generation or formation of cancer. And so that implies that we have control in preventing.
And we have a role to play.
Have a role to play. Naturally speaking, as one ages, the likelihood of having cancer is very high, because the normal...
Even without the environmental factors.
Yeah, because of the body system, reactions are taking place in the body systems, and there is what we call oxidants that are produced. These oxidants have the tendency of causing mutation, affecting the nucleotide sequence, which can result in mutation, and the mutation can be at a particular gene, which has effect in the control of cell division. But then there is what we call antioxidants.
Okay.
Normally, like I said, the body produces oxidants in the course of metabolism.
Right.
And of course, there are provision within the body system to mop up, to take care, to remove those oxidants. Right. But then it's possible for the body system to be overwhelmed with oxidants in such a way that too many oxidants are there, and the antioxidants within the body system are not able to take care of. That is what results in what we refer to oxidative stress.
Right.
Okay. Now, one way to take care of that is that you can have supplements. You can take, for example, vitamin C. For example, it's one of the antioxidants that can be taken.
Oranges?
Yeah, oranges. So I wanted to talk about fruits and vegetables. Mm. When you consume fruit, it serves as a source of antioxidants.
To clean out those oxidants.
Oxidants that are naturally produced within the body system. Right. And aside that, someone that smokes, too, like we had said before,
yes,
that it contains carcinogens. But then, like we said, it depends on your body system. But prevent, we're talking about how to prevent.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
So, and aside the fact that we have what we call the passive smoker, we also have passive smokers. The person that is actually smoking himself is referred to as the active smoker. But the someone around the person who could inhale the smoke
is the passive one.
Is a passive. So someone who does not want to be exposed to the chemicals, the carcinogens that are contained in the smoke, should not stay close. Or rather, someone should stay away from the smoke as much as possible because of the chemicals that are associated with it. And also, too, infection. We talk about viruses. We talk about bacteria
that
have the capability of... So, staying away from infection, prevention of infection, we have a way to prevent formation of cancer, too. Also, to avoidance of exposure to sun radiation. I talked about physical. Sun radiation. Don't stay too long in the sun. That will, and then be involved in physical activity as much as possible. Lower your consumption of alcohol if you cannot stay away from it, because alcohol consumption has been associated, for example, with liver cancer too. So by taking such steps, I think it will minimize the possibility of
minimize your alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
Minimize.
Reduce. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much for being a part of the show. It's been a very interesting conversation with you right here on the Inkaba Science Show. Dr. Juwon Olugbami is a specialist in cancer research and molecular biology at the Department of Biochemistry, University of Ibadan. We've been discussing the genesis of cancer, how tumors grow, their causes and effects. Remember, you can enjoy a repeat broadcast of this episode on Thursday at 5 p.m. right here on the station. Thank you once again for being a part of the show.
Oh, sure. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, thank you for listening. Join us again next Monday for another exciting